Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a complete IAAS environment in less than an hour. So this is either going to work spectacularly well or work spectacularly badly, as it is a full demo. So either way, I'm hoping to get you out for the happy hour, maybe a little early. So as we all like demos, I'm going to start off by dropping straight into a demo for us. So what I've got here is I've got a PowerShell script, which I'm going to come back to in a little bit. But as provisioning machines in Azure takes a little bit of time, I need to kick this off now. So I'm just going to kick that off and put in the password. And then I'm going to just flick back to the presentation. So you'll see why I'm done that in a little bit. So just talking a little bit about the agenda, what I'm going to do today. So basically, I'm going to run through an installation of virtual machines in Azure, basically setting them all up, configuring them, and adding some load balancers. I'm then going to go through and I'm going to configure all of those virtual machines. And then I'm going to deploy an application. And my goal and aim for today is that I'll be presenting a website which all of you should be able to log into. And then the first three people that can actually add their name into the solution, I've got some prizes to give away. So that's my goal. We'll see how far we get. So a little bit about myself. I use this slide a lot. I used to give prizes away if people could tell me things about me, but I've done this a few times, so I think it's a little bit old now. But basically, you might hear from my accent, I am from England. I came over here to New Zealand in 2002. I've been working for the Treasury now since 2013. And basically, my career has been in the Microsoft stack. That's what I've been working in, and mainly around SQL Server. So I've been playing with SQL Server 2014 recently. So what is our desired state architecture in Azure? So this is what I am aiming for, okay? So from Azure, we're going to have basically three storage accounts. Inside of those storage accounts, we're going to have three cloud services. The first one is our SQL cloud service, and in there, we're going to create two SQL machines with basically inside of an availability group. So that means that obviously one can't go down without the other, which is great for clustering. And inside of that, I'm going to create an internal load balancer. Now, one of the things about SQL 2014 over 2012 is that now you can do proper failover clustering and proper internal load balances inside of Azure, which you couldn't do before. Then I'm going to create a very vanilla IIS layer. So basically, this is basically the app layer. So again, just a storage account, cloud service, and then basically two machines in availability group. And then last but not least, I'm going to create my DMZ zone or ARR, application request routing zone. And basically, again, in their storage account, cloud service account with two virtual machines, and then have an external load balancer. So that's from an Azure point of view. That's all good. But from an actual infrastructure point of view, what does that actually mean? So I'm good, but I'm not quite this good. I have to actually provision something up front. So I've actually got an AD machine and a virtual network. And then I've got two SQL machines, okay? And we're going to put those into a cluster. And then we've got our internal load balancer. Then we've got our two web application servers. And then which are basically going to be acting as a web farm. So, and then from our DMZ zone, we're going to have two servers, which will basically be able to serve from either of the two app zones or app servers. And then we'll have our external load balancer. And this is the endpoint, which I'm hoping everybody will be able to hit. So as I mentioned, what did I have to pre-provision? So as I said, I'm good, but basically from an AD perspective and a virtual networking perspective, there's quite a bit of setup that you have to do in order to do that, and I thought it was just 10 steps too far to be able to do that all in an hour. So basically that has been pre-provisioned, and I've been using that as a base for the presentation. Now, yesterday in the keynote, there was a mention that we didn't want to just sit around and watch machines being provisioned. So when I first kicked this off, I was going to pre-provision just one SQL machine. However, this morning and last night, I was getting a little bit nervous because things weren't quite working out. So I've cheated a little bit, and I've actually pre-provisioned both my SQL machines. But I haven't configured one of them, so I'll be going through that. So AD machine, again, I've tried to stick to a relatively simple naming convention. Basically, most of the machines are Windows Server 2012 R2. Especially for my AD machine. It's got Active Directory Domain Services on it. It's got the DNS server role on it, and that has been set up in Azure for the DNS. And it's got a group policy for a file share on it, which is, again, one of those things that makes life just a little bit easier. And the other thing is that I've provisioned two service accounts, one for SQL and one for IIS, just to make things a little easier moving through. Created a virtual network, basically with four subnets, again, so that we can separate all of the different machines into the different subnets. And obviously, there is, again, security precautions and different things that you can do with that. So the Azure virtual machine images that I'm using, so basically, the bog standard Windows Server 2012 R2 is one of the ones that you can just use, and you can go through and install stuff. But I've tried to be a little bit clever. So we're using the SQL Server 2014 Enterprise Edition for our two SQL machines. We're going to be using a Windows Server 2012 IIS 8 build. It's called a write image, so which I found, which is just native on Azure that you can just use it. And then for our DMZ zone, we're just using the R2 data center. So for our SQL 2014 architecture, so basically our two SQL machines, PO1 and PO2, they've been given, all of my machines have been given IP addresses. So basically when we provision Azure, we can give them the IP addresses. So I know that it's going to be 04 and 05. We're basically going to have to open up the ports, so 443 and 5022. And then we need to install the failover cluster. And again, making sure that you allocate the IP address for that. And then from there, we need to create the load balanced endpoint in Azure and make sure that that has got an IP address as well. So long as this hasn't broken, because if it has, it's going to be a very short presentation. Right. So let me just make sure there are no errors down here. It's still running, which is good. Okay, so this is the PowerShell script that I've just kicked off at the beginning of the presentation, and this is what I've used to basically provision the machines. Now, as I said, I do work for the Treasury. I work for the Debt Management Office inside the Treasury, and we're doing a really brand new Greenfield site application. And one of the things that this is actually, all of this PowerShell is basically what I've used to create our environment. In Azure, we now have 72 machines, basically in Azure for our dev, test, UAT, and production environments. And basically, this is just a copy of the script that I am using to generate my machines in production. Obviously, all of the IP addresses are different and all the naming conventions are different. So, you know, don't think you're going to get anything from that. So, basically, what I've got here, the top part, which I'll run through, is basically just a PowerShell function. I'll run through it in a minute. And then, basically, what we get down here. So, the first thing that we do is just make sure that we are using the correct subscription. That has caught me out on a number of occasions when you create a machine and you go to your web page and it's like, well, where is it? And then you suddenly realize that you're actually using your work subscription rather than your MSDN. So then we, as you saw, I put in my password. So that's just basically getting my password out. And then this is the internal load balancer. So this is creating for us the internal load balancer that we will use for SQL. And as you can see, giving it the IP address that we need. So one of the things that, as you'll see in a lot of stuff that I do in this script, is that I always check to make sure that stuff hasn't been provisioned before I try and provision it. Otherwise, it just gets into a lot of hurt, especially if you're trying to use the same function over and over. So that will create my internal load balancer. And then down here, once I've created my load balancer, I'm actually just getting my two SQL machines and basically adding Azure endpoints for 1433 internal, for the internal load balancer, and then just updating the VM. Oh, so things are happening. So, and then down here, what you will see here is me calling out to the function to generate my machines. And it's really good, as you can see it just scrolling through here, you'll see that my AD machine is already provisioned. My two SQL machines are already provisioned, and you'll see that my IIS and my DMZ machines are actually being provisioned and created as we speak. Or as I speak, should I say. So, so basically I've got this function which takes in basically what I'm trying to create, the environment that I'm trying to create it for, the number, so again you can just increment this and add 3, 4, 5, very simple, the username that you want to use, and the password, and then the IP address. So what does that pass in? So basically that passes in. This is a really nice piece of PowerShell script. I was just putting in a plain text password. But I found this piece on the net, which basically allows you to use that secure password entry. So the first thing that we need to do is basically figure out our services. So as we can see here, what I've done is I've, based on the environment and the, based on the environment and the purpose, basically you can then set the service that I want to use. So SQL, IIS, and DMZ, obviously I've not put anything in here around production, but if you wanted to switch that out and have dev, test, UAT, you could very easily create the different services for those. The storage account, now I lied slightly, I was aiming for 3, but as you can see here, I've only got 1. So basically I've bundled everything into one storage account, but it would be very, very easy for me to just, again, switch that out by the different types. Subnets, exactly the same, and then the availability sets. So again, all very, very simple. Now we get down to something slightly different. So basically selecting the image that you want to use. So as you can see here, for SQLP, IISP, and then the default I've just done to the data center. Now, one of the reasons that I've done this with the purpose and the environment together is for my environment that I use at Treasury, I don't use the enterprise SQL images for dev, test, and UAT because it gets very expensive very quickly. So basically all I do is I generate a standard Windows 2012 R2 and then basically use the MSDN licenses for SQL over the top of that. So again, this gives you the flexibility to select based on what you need. And then down here, we just get the Azure image. And then another very important thing here is the instance size. So basically, again, you can break it down by purpose or environment and basically just have that mechanism to create large, small A6s, A3s, anything that you need to do, you can set up. Then we get down into the guts of it. So what we're doing here is creating the cloud service. So as I said before, we just make sure that we see whether we've actually got the service already. And if we do, then we just ignore it. Otherwise, we go through and create it. Same thing for the storage account. And then we go through and get the virtual network. So again, this is just, we always use the same virtual network. For this demo, but again, you could quite easily split that by dev, test, UAT, and production, because in my environment, I've basically got two networks, one for production and one for all the others. And then this gets down into the fun part. So basically check whether the VM is already existing. So if I've already created it, I don't want to recreate it. And then down here, basically splitting out what we want to do. So Just some points here. So for the DMZ zone, I've added an extra line on here to add an endpoint so that we've basically got the port 80 open so that we can come in. And then for the SQL machine, although I've commented out, you could add the endpoint to the internal load balancer once it's created if you wanted to. And then basically here, just again, a default version so that, you know, when you're creating just an AD machine or something, it's there for you. And then based on all of that, you can just create the new machine. I wondered for a very long time why it was taking a long time for me to provision a lot of machines. That wait for boot, although it's very nice because once your PowerShell script, you know the machine is up. If you want to do a lot, it does it in series rather than in parallel. So that's why it's commented out. But it is good if you want to make sure that you run your PowerShell script and then you can know that once the PowerShell script is finished, your machine is there and provisioned and ready for you. So there we go. And then what I've got here, and I will just run this again, this is just a nice piece of PowerShell which looks for the services and the machines. And from this, what I hope is it will tell us the state of each of the machines that I'm looking for. So AD is good to go, which I'm glad about. PO1 is good to go, which I'm also glad about. There's PO2. And the IIS machines should be pretty much ready to go. Come on. There we go. There's one. There's two. And what about the DMZ zones? Have they finished provisioning it? Come on. Oh, one's done. And that's two. Right. Sorry, I need my notes now. Okay. So, cool. I'm just going to very quickly step back to here. So, demo. And basically, I'm just going to flick through the next two slides because demo one and demo three, as I'm not coming back to these slides, so I'm now just going to go back into the environment and I'm now just going to configure everything from the ground up. So starting at SQL, we'll go through everything and hopefully by the time I finish this, everything should be ready to go. So, first things first, one of the things that I, again, a trick for the beginners here, the PowerShell script that we had, let me just mention one other thing about this PowerShell script, which I find extremely useful, and it makes this demo so much quicker, is this little thing here, domain join. Okay, so what this script actually does is that it will go, because you know it's on the virtual network, it looks for AD, and basically it will join the machines immediately to the to the domain, which is great. As you saw, I only put in one password, and that password that I put in is for the admin account on the machine as well as to join to the domain, because at the moment they're just one and the same. So they are domain joined, which is really good. So as you can see here, these are, so this is just remote desktop manager, and let's just unclick that. I love this. This is my best tool ever. So basically what we should be able to do now is just click through. Oh, come on. With any luck. And basically have all of our machines there ready to go. So now, first trick. Creating a SQL machine via the image is great. Domain joining it is great. And if you're like me, you go, cool, I've created my machine, I've created SQL, it's all domain joined, I'll just connect to it and off you go. Unfortunately, one of the things is that the only the local admin account that you create is set up inside of SQL. So that causes a little bit of an issue when you try to connect from outside of that machine using Windows credentials, it doesn't let you. So the first thing that you need to do is just make sure that you go into the machine logging in using your using the local credentials, and just so that I can access it from outside using my domain credentials, I just need to make sure I type properly. Just add myself as a system admin. There we go. And the other thing that I'll do just to make it a little easier is I'm just going to change the service account for the SQL machine. So to SVC SQL service. Cool, and that's just going to recreate the service for me, or restart the service. So that's the only thing that I'm actually going to do logged in as the local machine. Please. There we go. Excellent. All right. So you're going to have to bear with me. I'm going to be flicking through a lot of machines and doing a lot of stuff, and I'll try and make sure that I talk through it to you, but just try and bear with me for a little bit. So my SQL 2 machine, basically, it's just been provisioned, as you've seen. I've just added myself as the domain account into SQL, and I've just changed the SQL service to a domain account as well. So the next thing that I need to do is I actually need to set the machine up. So I actually basically need to configure the base machine. And again, PowerShell is my friend at this. So basically, this is a PowerShell script, and I will just kick it off. Ooh. Let's try that again. Here we go. And what that does, and what this is going to do, is it's basically going to create three new firewall ports, opening up 433, 5022, and also 59999, and that is for the internal always-on listener port, pro port. It's also going to import the server manager module, and then it's going to install the .NET core framework, and it's also going to install the failover clustering, including the management tools. Okay? Again, I cannot express enough how much having these things as PowerShell scripts and basically as a core library, just to be able to go in and go, cool, I've got a blank machine, I now need to configure it, drop it in, off you go. The other nice thing is that you can actually give it to somebody else and say, you want to build a machine, off you go. So, okay, now I need to go to the DMZ zones. I'm going to jump around a little bit here. So this is the DMZ P01, and yep, that worked. So, and as you can see here, I've got a very nice file share, which again has come through on group policy. And these are all of my PowerShell scripts and SQL scripts, which are very nice. So as you can see here, my DMZ1 machine configuration. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run this. And when I run it on O2, I'll actually edit it for you so you can actually have a look at it. One of the things that I found with this is the execution policy. You just got to wait for it and then hit yes. So give that a moment. Doesn't take too long. There we go. There we go. So that's kicked that off. So what this is going to do, and I'll just open up exactly the same script on PO2. Here we go. Just edit rather than just run it. Let's just go back and see how that's doing. Yep, still working. It's interesting, new machines always take a little bit of time just to, once they're running, just to gather their thoughts. Okay, let's just go back to PO2. So as we can see, PO2 is now finished. So basically, that has got the failover cluster. So we should be able to go in here, tools, and see failover cluster manager has been installed on PO2, which is all good. Obviously, I didn't pay enough to the demo gods this morning. Right, okay, well, while we're waiting for that to load, and this is one of the beautiful things about this demo, is there's so much stuff to do. So next thing to do is basically to create the failover cluster. Now, again, normally you would go into the failover cluster manager, right-click, you know, add the servers, set it all up. Again, PowerShell allows you to do this. One of the things that you can do, which as you can see I've commented out, is you can do that test cluster, which is the testing that it goes through normally. I don't want to do that because it takes far too long. So I'm just going to highlight that and kick that off. So again, one of the important things here is just looking at that static IP address of 06. Again, from my previous slides, just looking at the planning in terms of the failover cluster, that's the IP address that we want to use. So do you can. Come on. All right. Let me just see whether this is actually going to run so that I can actually move on, and I'll try and come back to that. Again, it's a really simple PowerShell script. It just basically installs the IIS stuff, but PowerShell really doesn't want to be playing on this machine. Doesn't like me for some reason. All right, well, we'll come back to that. Hopefully that won't hold up presentation too much. Okay, wow, that was quick. So see, I ran through this last night and this took about 10 minutes and I was like, oh. But as you can see, it's actually finished this and actually set up the cluster and everything's working as expected, which is good. Now, now that we've installed the failover clustering module and we've set up the failover cluster, the last thing that we need to do inside of SQL is just turn on the always on capability. So that is inside of the services. So in here, just go to properties, always on, and what I'm hoping is that this little checkbox is enabled. And this will tell me I have to restart, which is fine. I will do that. Oh. Let me restart that. And I have to go and do that on the second node as well. So here we go. Oh, no, not that. And let's just refresh that because I'm hoping. Yeah, there we go. That the service account is there. So always on, enable, all good, and then just restart the service. So do we reckon this is running? Yeah, let's try this, shall we? Let's try just running that. Oh, look. And let's just try editing that as well. Nah. Oh, there we go. Look at that. It's really not that exciting, honestly. Again, just importing the service manager over here, then just basically adding the Windows features, and then importing the NetSecurity to enable rather than create, enable the firewall port that already exists inside of, the server. Cool. So, we're getting there slowly. Now, the next thing is we have to create our database, because one of the things is that you can't create an availability group or an always-on availability group unless you've actually got a database to add to it, which is a little bit weird. But anyway, as it is Ignite 2015, we've got an Ignite 2015 demo database, and I'm sure that's not the only one that's been created or will be created in these 3 days. So here we go. And again, with any luck, there we go. So this is, again, just a bog standard SQL database script that's been generated out of Visual Studio to create a database with a table in it. And then the only other thing that I've done at the bottom of this is I've added a script to basically back up the database. So that means that we should be able to look here. And if I refresh that on PO1, we should be able to see our database, which is good. So the next thing is that we need to create, this is where we basically create our always-on high availability group. And again, just to save time and to stop clicking through screens, basically I've just got a script that will do this. It is a CMD SQL mode script, and basically what we should just be able to do is execute that. And that should go through, create the endpoints that we need. As you can see there, the endpoints are 5022, and basically set up the always-on availability group. And it will also take the database that I've just created and basically add it through, which is good. I'll leave that for a moment. So just going to go into the failover cluster manager on PO1 and refresh that, and we should see, let's just try opening that up again. There we go. That was lucky. So as you can see, created the failover cluster, and we should have two nodes on here. Yep, PO1 and PO2. Let's just see how we're getting on here. And here we have our role, which is the Ignite availability group. Now, one of the things that I just need to do in here, now this is one of the only manual steps, and I just couldn't find the PowerShell to do this. Basically, we need to add a resource and add a client access point. And obviously, my SQL machine is doing a lot, so we'll just give it a second. So what we're going to put in here, Ignite availability group, listen, next. Next, finish. And then lastly, just to make things a little easier for me, I'm just going to rename the IP address resource in here to be availability group IP address. Like so. Now, you can't bring those online just yet. Let's hope that my... Nope. Still processing. Ooh. And this might mean that it's all gone completely bad. So the one other thing that I forgot to do, which I needed to do,
was add the service accounts. So they already exist on there, but I didn't do them on PO2. Well, that's a bad, isn't it? So let's just see whether I can salvage this. Just opening up SQL on the other machine. So did it actually create the availability group? Nope. Oh, let's just refresh that and see whether it did. This is one of those things where, oh look, so it did. Did create it. So I just don't know whether it actually created it over here. Let's just connect into here. I will just add service accounts to SQL. Alright, now let's have a look. Right, so it's restoring that database, and I can tell you now it's not going to restore that. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to delete that very quickly, go back to PO1, and I'm going to remove from the availability group. I'm hoping that this will actually all still work, but I'm just going to add the database directly. So, yep, met the prerequisites. And let's just go ADPO1/shares/SQL. And I'm hoping that's right. Give me 1 second. So I do have it here. Let's just look at the properties of this, and this is all I need. Shit. It should be in here. It should be in here. There we go. That wasn't quite what I was looking for, was it? Connect as me. Hopefully this should now all just work, finish, back up. There we go. So, what that should mean is that I've got my demo in the availability group, and what I should now have in here if I refresh my databases. Ooh, this is my synchronized thing. Thank you. Right, so there we go. That's all good. So where was I up to? Okay, so the last thing that I need to do for SQL is just create the availability group set up on both machines. So again, we should just be able to highlight this, import and run. So that's done on O1. And what I should be able to do is run the same thing on O2. Like so. Now, proof is in the pudding. So, with any luck, and I'm just going to use the IP address of the listener. Oh, you want to use the Ignite without the F. Availability group, listen. And it's not going to work. Anyway, we'll just go back to the DMZ zones and I'll come back to that. So, for the DMZ zones, we've got to set up two things. So again, I just need to do this on both servers. So this is basically our application request routing, which is what we need to basically pass through all the requests coming in from the server down into our web farm. So we can kick that off on both machines. So let's just run through that. And let's just drop to our IIS machines. So the IIS machines are actually the most straightforward out of all of them. So just go to the file share, and you can see I've got one script here, and hopefully these play nicely. So again, I'll just run the first one directly out of PowerShell. And just wait for it to do the execution policy. And all I'm doing here, really, this is just setting the port to be open. Nothing more. So the IIS machine that I've got has got everything installed. It's got all the IIS components that I need and everything else. So let's just edit this. So that's good. Cool. So that's application request routing done on DMZ. Now I just need to install the web farm component. Again, this is just a piece of bog standard Microsoft install. Check it on O2. Cool, that's done. So that one's done on the IIS. So again, this is just a script for the IIS machine. So you can see just importing the, oh, thank you, SQL. This is just the PowerShell script just to enable the port. Again, when PowerShell fancies itself to come back to me. And then the last thing that I need to do on the IIS machines is basically just copy across the website. So again, this is a pre-prepared, very bland, not very exciting website. And I'm just going to put it into the root of this, of the, here we go. So let's just run that. Go into here, so that's all finished. Ah, yes. I lied slightly. There's one other thing that I need to do. And dubdubroot, just paste that in there. So now there are some really smart things that you can do here in IIS and ARR, having shared configuration and doing lots of different stuff. I've just not bothered for this because it's other things to worry about and for it to go wrong. So that's good. So now, under IIS, the only other thing that I need to do, and again, I have to do this on both machines, so please bear with me, is I just need to set the application pool of the for the application to run under the service account, which I've given permissions inside of SQL. So we just go to the app pools, go to the default app pool, right click, advanced settings, and again, just change the to a custom account. So Ignite 2015 SVC IIS. As you can tell, I can put that password in just a few times. So that's good. So it's done on 01. And we'll just do it on, oh, that was 02, sorry. Just do it on 01. Here we go. Application pool. Nope. I always do that. So we're very near the end, hopefully, if I can get SQL to talk nicely. So the last thing I've got to do after I've done this is hopefully once... So cool, that's all done. So I should be able to come back in here. Tools, come on. So go to the Information Services Manager or Internet Information Manager. And in here, now that I've installed ARR and the web farm, what I should see is the server farm option here. So what I can do is I can right-click and create a server farm. And server farm, I think, is just going to be Ignite server farm. You know, nice and interesting. So then we just need to add both of the machines. Like so. Now, one of the really nice things is that this automatically creates application request routing rules for you, so you don't actually have to do anything. It just does it automatically for you, which is really nice. So, bear with me for 2 minutes while I just do this on the other side. See, if you've missed it the first time, you get to see it again, because it is so fun. Come on. Right, server farms. Create Ignite server farm. Right. So let's just quickly pop back to SQL. And it doesn't want to play ball. Okay. No. Sorry? Ah, thank you. Thank you for that, man. Come and see me, you can have the first prize. Well done. Bring it online. Thank you. It is in my notes, believe it or not. And bring that online. Come on. Here we go. Right. Should we try that again? There we go. So we're now hitting, thank you very much, that man. We're now hitting the endpoint. So with any luck, fingers crossed, I should be able to come back out here, drop into my browser. Now this is the moment of truth. This has only worked once for me. But this is the endpoint. And we'll see whether it's going to hit it or not. thinking hard about it. Anyway, I'll leave that for a moment and I'll just pop back to the presentation just so that we can finish and get you downstairs. All right, so thank you and apologies. It is relatively complex going through all of that, but as you can see, you can do a lot of stuff with PowerShell. That was pretty much vanilla IAAS, but there is plenty more stuff that you can look at and deal with. So one of the things around SQL Server is making sure that you plan all your disks out and where they're going to sit and inside your storage. One of the great things about Azure is the virtual machine auto-scaling. And then you know you can turn them off, especially with your clusters. Azure endpoints, the virtual machines just come with two basic endpoints. They come up with the remote desktops, but they also come up with the PowerShell. Again, if you're using your machines, like your SQL machines and your IIS machines, I turn off all of the endpoints in Azure, so the only way you can access them is via the machine. Didn't work. Network security groups, again, scaling out and scaling up. So I've just added two SQL machines, two IIS, two ARR, but you can obviously scale those across the board if you wanted to, and then scale the machines up depending on the size. A lot to do with security and a lot more to do with networking. Don't be afraid. So some of the key takeaways. Look, one of the things that I found in doing the work that I've actually been doing for the Treasury is that what Azure allows you to do, what PowerShell allows you to do, and what I've sort of just demonstrated is that you can try it, you can test it, you can build it, you can tear it down, and then you can just do anything that you need to, and you don't have to worry about having these machines or getting other people to provision them for you. When I was creating my environment, in my test environment, I think I created my SQL cluster about 5 or 6 times before I actually had it right and before I knew exactly what it was. Each time I'd just tear it down and start from scratch. However, in saying all of that, when you're ready to go to production, make sure you plan. Make sure you understand where everything's going to sit, all of the storage accounts, all of your cloud services. Make sure that you've set out all of your networking, all of your IP addresses, what's going to be static, what's not, where are your failover clusters, all of those things. Make sure that you plan all of those out, and also licensing. As I said, the biggest bite that I got was around SQL licensing rather than MSDN licensing. And as you can see, PowerShell. There's lots of help out there on the web. I don't profess to be a PowerShell expert. Everything that I've basically delivered has been based on what's been already out there. And there is so much more, so maybe next time we can go into that. So some more related sessions. So there's an overview of the Azure networking capabilities tomorrow at 9 o'clock. A shout out to Rob Hawthorne doing his BI in the cloud. Again, something that's near and dear to my heart. And also the ARM, Azure Resource Manager, tomorrow at 4:30. Emil is doing that, and that is going to be a very good, another very good presentation around the Azure. From what I understand, he can do everything that I've just done, but a lot quicker. So we'll see how that goes. So loads of resources out there, and if you complete your session evaluation, you can be in to win. Thank you very much. Any questions? It didn't work. I have seen this error before, but I'd have to go in and just figure it out. But it's something to do with the ARR servers. But yeah, that's what I got. Huh? Did it? Oh. Oh, look at that. It did work. Maybe I was just being too hasty. Right, Mike. So Mike, Ed, and Bart, if you want to come up to the front at the end of the presentation, and there are some prizes here. All good? Thank you very much.